start from the top. I just want to reiterate the problem in the United States right now is that the American people are not speaking out enough about the coup attempt that's continuing against President Trump. And you have neocons who are trying to shift him away from what he campaigned on, the latest example being the backtracking on NAFTA. Now, some people are saying, well, looks like Trump is no good. He's been taken over completely. I think people have to look at this as a battle. It's a fight. And the first round of the fight was the Republican primary, where he knocked out the Bush crowd. Second round was defeating the Clintons in the general election. And then what happened was he came up against the neocons, the neoliberals, the Clinton machine, the Bush machine, the major media, and they ran a consistent operation against him to try to box him in. And then you had, as he was breaking out of that, as the Russia story was collapsing, you know, it's obviously a fraud from the beginning,
right.
But as it was collapsing, they used the concocted false flag of chemical weapons in Syria, and then the heating up of the North Korean situation to try and push Trump back into a trap. Now, where he's going to go, it's not clear yet, because the neocons have a very strong position in the Democratic and Republican Party, as well as in the Congress, as well as in the media. But this is where it's up to the American people to make our voices heard that we don't want another Bush-Obama administration, and that Trump should stick to his promises and deliver. So I think that's really the lead story, because when you look around the world, you see a number of promising developments, most importantly being Trump showing real restraint, you might say, on the North Korea thing, where he's talking with the Chinese and he's saying, look, let's work on this together. That's the only way you can stop it short of a war. So I think that there are some good signs, some positive signs, but you can't, as I've always said on this program, you can't rely on Trump alone. The American people have to stay in the equation. And by the way, the same thing is true in France, and we can talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, no. What do you think is going to happen in France? Because I think that once Le Pen will probably get in, we're going to have the meltdown of the euro. We also have this debt crisis in corporations in America that is somewhere around, I think you said, somewhere around $14 billion. Is that right?
$14
trillion. Trillion, I forget.
This is non-financial corporation debt, $14 trillion. And what people should keep in mind is that when the Wall Street blowout in 2008 occurred, it was over $11 trillion in unsecured debt. So it's larger already than 2008. And that's not counting the banks.
Now, you have to talk about how this was structured, because in a sense, they're selling debt as a security. And in fact, this is bad debt right from the very start of it. It is actually a debt that they're selling as if it's a security. So explain the details of what they actually did, which to me looks pretty darn criminal on the surface of it.
Well, in some ways, it's something we've been talking about for quite a while. One of the things that happened with quantitative easing is that money was flowing into the banks. And what the banks did is they loaned it to their blue chip customers who went out and bought their own stock. So you had a bubble of debt created by the Federal Reserve creating funny money and giving it to the banks. That was the first level of debt. The second level was the banks loaning it to their blue chip clients, and also, by the way, by themselves buying their own stock and creating a stock bubble. So those are two areas of the debt. Then the third thing is corporations went into debt to buy their own stock, and in some cases, to buy other companies. You had a big jump in mergers and acquisitions in 2014-2015, which just added more corporate debt.
Yeah, but it's not real. It's not really new economic action. You've highlighted this over the years that when the debt crisis hit in 2008-09, what China did was totally the opposite of America. It built rail lines, it built infrastructure, it actually invested in the actual physical economy. What America did was dump money into big banks to make them bigger by 40% and wipe out 40% of the small banks. So it's no real growth in the economy. It was actually money dropped into a deep volcanic hole financially. And we have another bubble about to pop, which could suck in more cash because they're going to say, well, these corporations are insolvent. Who's going to pay for it? If they don't just, and if they write off the debt, the dollar will be toast.
Well, let's take another example along the lines you were just talking about, the celebrated Obama bailout of the auto industry. Now, what did they do? Did they restructure? Did they fundamentally change their business model to something that was long-term sustainable? No, they just used the money they got to keep the scam going. And now what we saw was for a period of time they were offering these new 60-month and longer auto loans. So the old model of a three-year loan got doubled. And so with the interest on this, the auto debt started going through the roof, and we're seeing now defaults. But we're also seeing the banks then took the auto loans and securitized them. Now, since you don't have an increase in productive jobs that allows people to afford buying new cars, the car sales have not gone up significantly, but the total auto debt has gone through the roof. And now that's sitting on the books of banks, and it's also sitting on the books of pension funds.
Isn't that crazy, though? And these are all these debt things are all interlocked worldwide. So you can have a pension fund, say Caltrans here in California. It's interlocked with international stocks and trades and securities and so on. And you might not think it's going to affect you, and it does. It has catastrophic effects, and it ripples all over the world, too.
Well, let me give you another example, commercial real estate. You know, in the United States, we have six times more per capita commercial real estate than any other country in the world. And these included a shopping mall boom, expansion of a number of stores, in the build-up to 2008, and then shortly after 2008. Now, in the meantime, this was going on as people began to see the shift toward online purchases, that you don't need the brick-and-mortar stores anymore.
Right.
But in the meantime, the debt of the commercial mortgages was securitized, and they turned it into new forms of bonds. And this is another area where it's not just that JCPenney's is going to close 1,000 stores, or I guess 180 stores. There's downsizing going on with Macy's and so on. And people say, oh, gee, that changes the model. Well, the stores that they're closing down are going to become non-payment. They're going to become non-performing debt. And these are in people's pension funds also. The commercial mortgage debt has grown by 75% in the last 4 years. So this is another bubble. Student debt, another bubble. So we're in a situation where the debt in the United States, we're talking now about the United States.
Right.
It's not so different around the world, except it's bigger in the United States.
Right.
And because most of these have not been declared non-performing assets, they're sitting on the books of banks and hedge funds and pension funds at face value, when if they had to be sold, the prices would collapse and you'd be lucky to get a nickel or a dime to the dollar. And so this is why we're seeing, why LaRouche Pack is saying that this is a catastrophic bubble, that if it collapses, it's going to force the issue, will there be another bailout or a bail-in? Will the banks turn around and seize the deposits of their customers?
Well, I think this is another scheme, to be honest with you, because ultimately the IMF and the Fed Reserve systems and the world bankers want to get rid of the physical cash. They don't want the dollar backed by gold. They've been pushing at the IMF since 2012 to have the yuan become the new world currency standard. Even though 50% of the loans in China are shark loans, yes, they have a better economic policy overall, but they're totally dependent on the West, which is Europe and America, for customers. So the interlocked world system, it's my guess that by midsummer, by July, we're going to have a world crash, and a lot of the rearranging of the deck chairs in the Titanic are going to occur. Luckily, we have a firefighter in the White House, but he's, even with all his skill sets, I don't think it's going to be without a lot of mess, a lot of destruction, a lot of, as they say in The Big Short, for every drop increasing the unemployment rate by 1%, 40,000 Americans die. So it's going to get ugly, isn't it?
Well, and I wouldn't overestimate Trump's skill set to handle this, because as he admitted today, it's a lot tougher than he thought being president, because this is not the same thing as putting a company through bankruptcy. You can't put a national economy through bankruptcy. You have to find the weak points and move on them quickly. Now, that's why we keep emphasizing, LaRouche Pack keeps emphasizing Glass-Steagall, because you've got to get the debt written down. And that means the commercial bank debt, which is largely built up because of involvement with trading. With the repeal of Glass-Steagall, commercial banks became among the biggest lenders for institutional buying of these securitized assets.
Yeah, what they did is they securitized and then blew up this debt bubble. So now the debt bubble can't be serviced. In fact, the word, I think you've said, as of about 3 years ago, that even the people that were selling securitized debt as of about 3 years ago can't make money either. So basically the entire system is just in a holding pattern ready to pop.
Well, and it's been subsidized by the continued efforts of the Federal Reserve and the central banks to provide enough liquidity to create the illusion that there may not be solvency, but there's liquidity. So if there's something pops here, a little thing pops here, a bankruptcy there. I mean, we've already seen more bankruptcies in commercial real estate, more bankruptcies, corporate bankruptcies in the first 3 months of 2017 than in the whole of 2016. They still have enough cash that they can say, well, don't worry, we have the liquidity to cover it. But as this thing balloons and starts to spread, there's not enough cash in the system. And they don't have enough things that they can securitize. One of the things that they did, the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank did, is they bought sovereign debt, took it off the books of banks, and gave them in return cash. Now they've run out of sovereign debt to do that. They started buying corporate debt. Now they're buying junk debt. So you have the central banks of the world, the Bank of England, the fraudulent Federal Reserve, and so on. They're sitting there with worthless debt in their books. And this is something that Bernanke admitted as he was heading out the door. This could be a problem. Yellen is very quiet about it. And, you know, if Trump were to really take a look at this thing, he's going to have to deal with this because it's going to come due on his watch. Now, I happen to know that on some level, he's aware of the depth of the crisis, but this is where the neocons and the British Empire had a strategy, which is if they couldn't get Hillary in, they were going to do everything possible to handcuff Trump. And they did it by running these scandals. So instead of being able to meet with Putin, he's been having to deal with the situation in Syria and North Korea day by day ad hoc. And that's not very good because the other side controls the hot spots. So he's got
to
get control.
Yeah, they're doing
this
on purpose to try to keep him kind of peddling. And the problem, I think, is Europe going to try to re-up the sanctions? I think a lot of Europeans are pretty fed up with the idea of having more sanctions against Russia.
Europeans are not going to do the sanctions further. But before I get to that, I want to just say the other problem Trump has is he's got a bunch of idiots in the Republican Party who are still the Bush crowd and the neocons who are trying to tie him down with the foolishness, the way they've been running the getting rid of Obamacare, the way they're doing a phony effort to get rid of Dodd-Frank, and now tying him down on the budget and the tax issue. These are all things that are problems, but they can be dealt with if you take care of the major issues first. And the major issue is meet with Putin, continue to cooperate with Xi Jinping, tell the Europeans, get your act in order or we're not going to work with you, and then go with Glass-Steagall to take the power away from the financial sharks and swindlers. Those are the four things he has to do.
Does LaRouche think that there's a reasonable chance that the American dollar at some point down the road will back it by gold again, you know, put gold back behind the dollar, then set up an international trade where, if you want to call it, currency exchange or fixed with the country, we're making trade deals so they can't manipulate their currency. then you don't have to be worried about all these border taxes and so on, because 105 nations use them. I think that you have to link these things together. You put Dodd-Frank in, you kind of back the dollar by gold, and you, in a sense, rearrange the rules for the Fed so that you don't end up with this giant debt being exploded, because they've already raised the interest a 0.25% twice. They're planning on 3 more raises this year. They didn't do any of the raises during the 8 years of Obama. And as you mentioned when we were talking this morning before the show, if the interest rates go up as much as 4%, much of corporate America is going to go bankrupt.
Well, Morgan Stanley put out a report saying 20% of American corporations will go bankrupt if interest rates get to 4%. Now, they may have to do that if they stick with standard Federal Reserve thinking. If you start to see inflation, they're going to start raising interest rates, and that will trigger corporate bankruptcies. But let's go back to one step. You said Dodd-Frank. I think you meant get rid of Dodd-Frank.
You get rid of Dodd-Frank, you have to get rid of Dodd-Frank and put in Glass-Steagall. And if you don't do that, all these other things really aren't going to have an effect, are they?
Well, now, to answer your question about what LaRouche thinks about the dollar, this is why he's emphasizing the importance of Trump participating with China in the One Belt, One Road. That the Chinese have hit upon something that's true, which is that investment in infrastructure, and it doesn't mean just building roads or railroads, it means the factories that provide the equipment that's needed to do the construction. It means the skilled workforce. It means job training. It means constant innovation.
I'm going to throw this in because I know you have a really good response to it. You know, Mike Rowe for Dirty Jobs, he's been on television on Hannity a bunch of times and on other shows like Tucker Carlson. And this is an interesting point, guys. I talked to a corporate person last year, and they mentioned if they go to China or India, and they ask for, I want 10,000 skilled workers to assemble, say, circuit boards or do this or that, they can easily acquire those people, and they don't have as many regulations there, so they can get their business up and running in 90 days. Here in America, we don't even have the skilled workers. We haven't emphasized skill sets. So even though they're going, let's say, to a school to learn philosophy or whatever, they should also be learning skill sets. So when they're finished, maybe they got a master's of philosophy under their name, but they can actually put together a circuit board, or they can actually do a physical job if those industries are there, so that they actually have employment. Because in China and these other places, they've emphasized these, you know, skill sets so that with all the engineers they have, they actually have the people that can put the things together the engineers design.
The Chinese brought the engineers from Siemens Corporation, who set up the German technical universities, where you actually have the development of these kinds of engineering skills with a broad education. So you not only have people who learn a skill, but they learn how the skill evolved, how it developed. They have a certain sense of the process of scientific discovery, as opposed to simply what winches have to be tightened and, you know, these kinds of things.
Exactly.
So this is what the Chinese have learned. Now, they're having a conference May 14th and 15th, and there are going to be 100-something nations coming to it. This is the One Belt, One Road, their name for the new Silk Road. 28 heads of state.
By belt,
are going to be
what's a belt refer to?
It goes around the world.
Basically. Oh, a belt around the whole world. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like in other words, it's a world Silk Road. So they call it a belt.
A world Silk Road, including a maritime Silk Road.
Right. So they call it a belt. So in other words, you can.
36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back. So, Harley, let's talk about what's going on with France. I really think France, which I think is the second largest economy after Germany, is likely to at least rearrange its arrangement with the European Union. I don't think it's going to, quote, totally leave. But I think that the original idea, which is a French scholar, that we're going to have a bureaucratic rather than an elected super bureaucracy over Europe is going to be dead, which means after Le Pen gets in, you'll see more nations demanding some degree of sovereignty, but become a United States of Europe. So, like states have the 10th Amendment rights that automatically go to the state if it's not appropriated to the, you know, the transnational, you know, the United States of Europe, they're going to have a lot more sovereignty. And my guess is that rearrangement will also eventually mean a disconnection with America providing NATO military services, so that there'll probably be a trans-European military force that will be, in a sense, integrated with us, like our European space satellite systems, but be separate. And that I think is going to come in the next 10 or 20 years, that they're going to have their own separate military force, but they're also going to have sovereignty. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I do think that it's coming, whether people like it or not. You know, the Europeans are no longer going to put up with 85% of their laws being made by bureaucrats in Brussels.
Let's go back a step, because the question of Le Pen winning is going to depend on a number of things happening. You have to realize the French system is more rigged than the American system. Now, here's the interesting irony. If you actually get outside of what's being reported in the news, Le Pen got about 21% of the vote in the first round, and Macron, who's basically the oligarch's choice and the banker's boy, got 23%. Yeah. But the Bernie Sanders character, Mélenchon, got 20%, and Fillon, the hardcore conservative got 20%. So if you add Le Pen and the other two who are both running as anti-establishment, that was 60%. But the media in France immediately said Macron will win by 20 to 25% because all the parties will turn against Le Pen. And what happened is Fillon, the conservative, the so-called conservative, immediately endorsed Macron. Why? Because he's facing 10 years in jail. So he's operating out of a real pressure on him. This is because of the charge that he put his wife on the payroll and his children on the payroll. That's why he didn't become the president. He could have been the president of France, but for that. Then secondly, Mélenchon, because of his commitment to old leftist principles, he endorsed Macron, even though during the campaign he called Macron a banker's boy and a crook.
Right.
And so you had the two people who should have endorsed Le Pen, because they're opposed to the establishment, show cowardice. Now, a lot of their voters, it's not clear whether they'll follow their lead. And Le Pen is being very clever in the way she's running it. She has, the other day, just as an example, there was a plant, a Whirlpool manufacturing plant outside of Paris that's going to be shutting down. And Macron went to meet with the union leadership. Le Pen went and talked to the striking workers before Macron got there. And the striking workers support her because she's saying what Trump said. We're not going to let you leave. We're going to change the laws. We're going to break with EU policy so your plant will stay open.
Now, where were they going to move the plant, though? This is typical transnational corporatism, right?
Yeah, North Africa. So Macron got there, went to meet with the union leadership, and there was a line of the workers who were striking trying to block him. And like an idiot, an arrogant idiot, he started arguing with them. And now we're seeing Le Pen coming up in the polls. Right now it's something like, of those people who register a view, it's 48 to 28. I think it's going to get much tighter, that Le Pen is going to go higher. But you can't underestimate the effect of the media and the institutions and the corruption in France that wants to have Macron in there because he's just a patsy. He's a French Obama.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The only thing he has going for him, he has a really good scalp. When you look at his picture, he's got an excellent scalp. Beyond that, he's an idiot. You ever see that? He's got the Macron scowl.
Well, and he's scowling a lot because he is so arrogant, he tries to argue with people. And I don't know if you know this story, but when he was economics minister. But here's the other irony. Here's a guy who is economics minister in a government that's completely failed and that is registering 4% popularity. So how did he become the front runner?
Right.
You know, so one, there's a story that he was trying to talk to workers who were losing their jobs about how he's going to have job training programs for them. And one of them, a guy in a dirty T-shirt, said to him, what guarantees can you give us that there are going to be jobs for us?
Tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And welcome back. And so, Harley, you know, there's some real solutions. We've discussed what the belt is, and the belt is actually an extension of the Silk Road. You know, the Chinese, or we call them the Jews of the Far East, because they're good at business. They actually can have a long sight. Here in America, in the West, we often think of like 2 to 5 years. The Chinese think of centuries. And their long sight view is, hey, we're going to succeed. There's a lot of things in China that need to be fixed. The totalitarian regime will eventually literally fall away because of the old guys that are running the communist system. But the businessmen, the engineers that basically run it, and I've talked to people, when they have business meetings of American corporations and Chinese, the Chinese, 90% of them plus, are engineers. And here in America, they're almost all attorneys or financial guys. In other words, the model in China is much more realistic in terms of we're going to build things, we're going to make things, we want to sell you, we want to make a deal. Whereas in the West, it's like attorneys, regulations. It's not a good model, is it?
Let me give you an example. I was at a conference in Berlin on Tuesday where we had a young expert on the digital economy from China on the phone or on Skype. And one of the things he talked about, he started out by saying of the Fortune 500 companies, the 500 largest companies in the world, 98 are now Chinese. Now, let that sink in for a minute. That's 1 out of 5. And you know, what people have is an image of China as a poor place teeming with people. It's changing. It's changing dramatically. But what happened is that there was an impulse after the rejection of the Cultural Revolution. Deng Xiaoping, who came in 1978, wanted to modernize China. And where did he go? He went to Texas. He went to the Midwest. He looked at factories. And they had a fight for about 15 years to try to change some things in the Chinese system. And it is a one-party system. There's no question about it. But what was new was that Xi Jinping, who's now the president of China, in 2013, decided to go whole hog with the idea of what we called the new Silk Road. Now, here's an interesting thing. We had a conference in New York City last week, and Helga Zepp LaRouche, who's known in China as the Silk Road Lady, gave the keynote address. She was followed by a representative from the Chinese consulate in New York, and then a deputy ambassador from the Russian UN mission. And what Helga said shocked just about everyone. She said, if Trump works with Xi Jinping and uses his business skills to start getting deals with China, he could become one of our greatest presidents. Now, this was page one news in China.
Right.
The China People's Daily, which has, I think, something like 30 million readers, read Helga Zepp LaRouche quoted on this. Now, what Xi Jinping has done is take the Chinese, certain Chinese characters, and as you mentioned, business and so on,
right,
and incorporated them into a broad infrastructure plan, which is modeled on what Alexander Hamilton did to build the United States at our founding. And Trump has, from whatever basis this came from, has been talking about Hamilton and protectionism and national banking. He's scared Wall Street completely because he keeps hinting that he's going to go with Glass-Steagall. You know, in the last 10 days, there have been 5 articles in the Financial Times attacking Glass-Steagall. Now, the Financial Times is the mouthpiece of the City of London. And each article starts by saying, this will probably never happen, but. And the question I have is, if you don't think it's ever going to happen, why are you running so many articles about it? Trump has an idea that if the United States could free its banking system from the debt and get rid of some of the debt and start channeling real credit to physical production, we're going to need new markets. We're going to need cooperation. And he's looking at what the Chinese are doing with the Belt and Road or the Silk Road, and he sees that the Chinese are working with other countries to build physical production.
Right.
And Xi Jinping and Jack Ma and others have talked with Trump about this. So Trump, you know, think about this.
Yeah.
It was when he was meeting with Xi Jinping that the false flag of the Syrian chemical weapons was used to shift him, in at least momentarily, against Russia and against Syria. Now, it's not clear yet who it was in the administration that was responsible for this trap for him. But it is clear that all the so-called intelligence came from where? From the British. Michael Fallon...
Well, Five Eyes probably has leaked it, or McCain and his affiliates in the deep state, to make sure that the Al-Qaeda put chemical organophosphate and chlorine there in this weapons depot, which the Russians told the Syrians and told the Americans, hey, this is where it is. So I'm amazed that they actually shielded Trump from knowing this. But then when he hit it, now he's going to face some facts here. When it eventually comes out, the toxicology proves that there was no sarin nerve gas there or not.
Exactly.
It's going to be embarrassing. But in a sense, it did accomplish one thing. It took, you know, Rachel Maddow and the other maniacs with their teeth in the back of Trump's neck. It also changed the whole dialogue to say, hey, while you're having your chocolate cake, Xi Jinping, we're going to make a deal here, and you're going to start really doing something with North Korea, and I want to make a deal so you can make money. Like Jack Ma, when he came, said, look, I need to make 1.5 million more American jobs to make 12 to 15 million Chinese jobs. He said that.
Yeah, so there's a deal in process.
Right.
And it's a deal that Trump recognizes as good for the United States.
Right.
Now, the problem he has, as I said, it's a twofold problem. One is, the people who are his enemies, who came out and praised him briefly over the Syria strike, are still going for his head. But they've got a weak case. I mean, Christopher Steele, the source of the dossier that said Trump is being sexually blackmailed by Putin, Christopher Steele admitted that most of this was, quote, raw intelligence. In other words, sewage that was basically made up.
They don't care. It's the old Russian idea that if you throw enough mud against the wall, something will stick. But the media have to realize they're committing media suicide, because the young millennials, and I know I talked to enough young millennials, they don't trust the media at all. They go to the internet and they double check multiple sources.
Course.
And we have people that You know, they'd even look at alternative media, and they're looking very askance now and say something like, you know, the custody issues with Alex Jones, like, is this guy real or is he just an actor? So the average person now looking at media is very, very critical. The only show I watch, for example, even on Fox and take it any credit, is Tucker Carlson. I know that that Hannity will just kiss butt anyway, no matter what the person says, if they're on the Republican side, even if it's not valid. But Tucker will always ask tough questions, and he's always taken from the skeptic's point of view. And I'm sure LaRouche was like that, which is why he got in trouble with previous governments that didn't want him to say, hey, you do have a better plan for international finance. You do have a better plan for the future of America and even the space shield. Because I think it wasn't one of his ideas to actually put up a space shield and have collaboration between us and the Russians.
That was not only LaRouche's idea, but Reagan supported LaRouche's idea. And that's when the Bush crowd launched the Get LaRouche Task Force that ended up putting Lyndon in prison.
Exactly. So the point is, if you actually provide a good plan that some of these evil maniacs don't like, they will do awful things. You try to cut off your show, kill you, put you in jail.
Well, look what they're doing to Flynn. You know, Flynn may have made a mistake by not reporting some of his business deals, but the fact of the matter is that they went after him initially because he talked to the Russian ambassador.
Yeah, but here's the fact. I saw some more facts on this now. What Flynn did is she went to the Pentagon and said, look, I'm providing a lecture, I'm still a private citizen, and here's my thumb drive of the lecture I'm giving them. And it went to a speaker's bureau. Now, he didn't declare it on some fact sheet that went off to Congress or something, but other than that, he went to the Pentagon, so if he is charged with anything, all he has to do is give back the $35,000 fee, and it'll be a civil crime, and no one's ever prosecuted anybody under this so-called act. So this idea of trying to blow it up...
It doesn't matter. They destroyed him, and they knocked him out, and he was one of the few full allies of Bannon in the administration. And one of the points that Roger Stone has made, Bill, is that the one mistake Bannon made was he didn't surround himself with enough allies at the early formation of the Trump administration.
Well, right now the allies are against Bannon, and this is my prediction. If Trump doesn't smarten up, and this is a message for you, Mr. Donald, and bring Bannon back in and bring in some peripheral way people, if not Flynn, like Flynn, you're done. Because when the 2018 elections come and you lose your base, because a lot of your base are watching you like a hawk now, we're not idiots, okay? We aren't just little lemmings that'll follow you. That if you have, like Jan Coulter says, you present Trump in the nomination process in the early days of your presidency, and now there's only Trumpism, and what you are now is not what we thought we were buying, you're done. Because when the Democrats take over the House and the Congress, they'll stew up almost any foolish thing, but you will be impeached, and you'll be a lame duck president the last 2 years of your presidency, and you'll be finished in 2020. So you
and
need
Bill,
to listen up.
That's exactly the kind of tough talk that Trump needs.
Yeah.
He needs to be told, the reason you're president is that you made some promises.
Right.
Now, I think a lot of his supporters are willing to give him a little bit of room to move on. And in fact, you know, Maria Zakharova.
Oh, yeah, I'm still on the Trump train. I'm on the Trump train, but I'm telling you, he's got to notice now. You start acting like Trump, but if you try to continue to go down the neocon trail, or you don't get the wall going, and you don't
deal
with the
other
issues,
support.
You're not going to have the support, and you're going to lose, and you don't have a whole lot of margin. If you lose just some state in the Senate, they'll start an impeachment process on you, and it'll be the most weak argument you can imagine.
Well,
there's a panel
of
15 psychiatrists that are saying that this man is mentally ill for three reasons. Now, I got to tell you, this is the height of what I call medical unethical behavior for psychiatrists without examining the man to call him mentally ill and say duty to warn, and the kind of things they say, oh, he's narcissistic. What Hollywood person isn't? And he's a Hollywood person. What billionaire isn't?
This
is ridiculous.
Where were these guys when Obama was the narcissist in chief?
Well, he's the most narcissistic individual in public politics probably for the last 2,000 years since Nero. I mean, come on.
Did you notice, Bill, did you notice that Obama just signed a contract to get $400,000 to talk to Cantor Fitzgerald,
right,
one of the leading bond
dealers? Do you know what the advance is on his book? What do you think the advance is?
Yeah, I know.
$65 million.
But let me go back to the point you were making.
Yeah.
This the people who are supporters of Trump and still want to see this Trump.
I'm on the Trump train,
succeed.
But he better smarten up.
No, let me finish the point.
Yeah.
The people who are your listeners who are still on the Trump train better make a lot of noise. And it's got to get to the White House.
Right.
Do what you said you were going to do, and we'll have your back. But if you go with this neocon policy or try to compromise, the people, this is the point I wanted to make, the people who have opposed him and have been trying to get rid of him, they may for a moment smile at him, but they're going to continue the process.
They'll eat him alive. Yeah. And he won't see it coming. He doesn't realize with people like Flynn and Bannon around him and others, and of course you're right about Bannon needing to build a little stronger alliance, but Jared Kushner needs to be shackled. His daughter needs to not be able to throw a hissy fit and he starts a missile attack against Syria. We need to have people around him that aren't going to push like H.R. McMaster. This guy's a grinning psychotic. When he wants to put 150,000 troops, listen, the Russians now are going to upgrade the military air defense. We know the back channel's open because last week, the American Air Force actually went in and bombed an ISIS site, which is good. They bombed an ISIS site. But the problem is that that back channel's still there, and we know it's still open, but nobody's publicly saying, hey, we're working with the Russians to deconflict an air conflict that could cause a real disaster. And these morons...
Actually, the Pentagon announced this week that they have re-signed the deconfliction agreement,
right?
Which, as you point out, was a matter of a formal agreement because they were continuing to have discussions going on, because you have to. It's a small area where you're talking about major airports.
But here's the point. No one's talking about the fact of backtracking on the fact, well, maybe we jumped too quickly to accuse Assad of committing murder, an eye doctor with a British wife. Maybe we accuse the Russians too early to say you're complicit because you're incompetent and you left all 3 tons like these crazy, I call it's a real hell, Israelis. And the Israelis just sent a cruise missile in to the Damascus airport and supposedly said they hit an Iranian weapons depot. Like, Israel, are you out of your freaking mind? What do you want? Do you understand that the large depot of the most advanced chemical weapons in the world went to Iran and Syria? Do you want a short-range Syrian, again, good thing that Assad is probably not an alcoholic and he's not a maniac, because otherwise he just sent a few missiles in and you'd all die in a horrifying plague. And you don't understand this. He's right on your doorstep. Damascus is 10 miles from the northeastern Israeli border. Come on, people.
Well,
you want to replace him with ISIS?
If Al-Qaeda and ISIS come in, it's going to be a bloodbath for Christians.
Oh,
it's going to be terrorism against Israel and so on.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think the important thing, Bill, is that Trump has to get back on what he said he was going to do.
And I want to see Trump.
Glass-Steagall's important.
Yeah.
Putin is important. Xi Jinping is important. And some of these other questions, like the tax question, solve the debt problem first, then you can deal with taxes.
Yeah, and by the way, this military posturing with the Michigan officer with 145 cruise Tomahawk missiles and nuclear weapons, unless you can do air defense, you can lay enough Tomahawks and you can knock out these missiles that could hit Seoul, South Korea, Trump can't push the button. I mean, you got to understand, it's not just the first move you make, it's the third or fourth move you make. And when they say, oh, it's really dangerous, no, it's not really dangerous. If you work on a deal with Xi Jinping, he can, with a few strokes of the pen, Xi Jinping, cut off and literally castrate Kim Jong-un and actually just work on a deal to start reunifying North and South Korea. And then Xi Jinping says to Kim Jong-un, you're irrelevant. And we're making you irrelevant. And Xi Jinping has the power to do that today, and he wants the deals because he knows that he has a deal maker now. He doesn't just have a guy. For example, what Obama was doing, he actually shut him out with this Trans-Pacific Partnership. People don't realize this entire partnership was to shut China out of the deal. How can you have a Trans-Pacific Partnership when 95% of the trade in the area is China? Is that crazy or what? And Obama, this moron that everybody thinks is a globalist who's going to do the right thing, was going to try to shut out China? Is that crazy or what?
Well, he is crazy. He's still crazy, and he's doing everything he can to sabotage the potential of the Trump administration.
Right.
I'm going to have to jump off, Bill, but I want to urge people, go to LaRouchePack.com because we have the inside story for years on the Silk Road and the potential of a Trump-Xi Jinping collaboration.
Yeah, and I think North Korea, we got to stop having this nervousness. There's going to be a nuclear war and all. So forget it, okay? If Trump and Xi Jinping can have chocolate cake and make a deal, it's over. How's that?
I think that's right. And the other thing about North and South Korea, put a high-speed rail that goes from this tip of the South Korean peninsula through Russia, and the North Koreans will have new benefits that they never imagined before.
Exactly. Not only that, I would say let's give everybody in North Korea a free Disneyland ticket to South Korea, because to them, even getting bottled water is like going to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right.
The North Koreans will be staring around. They'll actually get dry eye syndrome because they won't be able to close their eyes. They'll be so boggled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk with you next
week, other words,
Bill.
We don't want to believe that they're creating this monster problem when really, if Xi Jinping and Trump work out a deal, the problem just vaporizes, doesn't it?
Yeah, and not in a nuclear cloud.
Exactly. How about a cloud of cheers and confetti, handshakes, and smiles? How's that?
Yep, that's right. See you next week.
You bet. Back in a minute.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts at Old New England Soap.
We have a last segment here now, and I'm going to touch on an area that needs to be touched on. I had an interesting email from one of our listeners, and he was kind of hee-hee-ha-ha laughing in his email that you got to continue saying the full truth like you do, Deagle. Otherwise, I'm going to pray to God that you're punished, which is, he really meant tongue-in-cheek, meaning continue doing it, man, because very few people will call a spade a spade. Now, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a story here. You're probably noticing I'm cleaning house not only of co-hosts but guests and also even companies that aren't necessarily playing ball. And one of the things that happened to me recently is, and people need to understand, I have a level of knowledge in some areas that's a little scary if you're on the other side and presume that you are the prescient expert. Now, that deals with a recent situation that happened with Leo Lyons-Agami. Now, Leo was supposed to be coming in on Thursdays on time, and for the last month and a half, maybe, he's been either not showing up at all or showing up late. Of course, I want to promote literature because I want people to ask questions and read it and find out what's going on, and then find out whether or not what he's saying is true or even partially true, because you have to understand this, that even the founders of America were high-level Masons, and in their own eyes, they were doing the right thing by setting up a dialectic of oppositional forces of power. So in other words, you can set up a nation that becomes very powerful, America, by doing things that are based on dialectics. Now, dialectics are doing what we call doing right in your own eyes. Now, one of the things that I mentioned recently, and I've ministered to up to 90th degree Masons. So you have to understand, I have some pretty remarkable knowledge in the area of Masonry and these other things, and I only give a tiny fraction of what I actually know. But I want you to understand that when I made a quote that all Masons, well, not just some, above the 17th level rite, which is the York rite, all Masons in the Western world believe in the ineffable name of the Creator as Yah Baal An. Yah being the breath, which is Yahweh, or Yahshua, which means, you know, God, the breath saves. Baal, which is the fertility god, and Osiris, An. And if you look at the two of the three names, actually, are otherwise names for the opposer or Satan, Shatan. Now, one of the things I mentioned on a show several times over the last few shows with Leo was that all high-level Masons worship the phallic symbol of Apollo. Now, Apollo or Apollonius is supposed to be the god of the bottomless pit, literally the god of our worlds in this solar system and this part of the galaxy. And Apollonius was supposed to be returning. Now, you need to know that when I raise this issue, I'm sure it'll cause some consternation, because you get the dialogue that says that there's good and bad Masons. There's Masons that do good, just like Donald Trump does good. And there's Masons that are overtly evil, and their actions are evil. But remember, all of them believe in the oppositional power of Luciferic light. So you have to understand that I don't stand up and say that Masonry is good, because if it's not subservient to the Most High God. And when I said this, all Masons believe in Apollo and worship it through the phallic symbol of the obelisk, like in front of the Washington Monument and the Vatican and around the world in every religion, you have to understand that I'm pointing this out so you'll understand what's really happening. Okay, back in a moment.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back, and we'll be joined in a moment with Bill Warner from PoliticalIslam.com. He just came back from a trip to Europe, and I'm sure he has some interesting stories. Nothing like a story or a parable to kind of really tweak it. Now, in the last segment, I was dealing with the issue of Leo Lyons-Agami, and people need to know, I don't defend any form of masonry, advanced masonry. The porch masons are really, they start, they're the bottom levels. But once you've got to the higher level masonry, you believe that part of the, quote, Godhead is actually the Luciferic power of Baal and Osiris. Now, one of the things we've discussed with Bill, and he's actually rewritten in lineal time sequence the Hadith and the Quran, you start to realize that Islam, not just, you know, extreme Islam or Islam that's involved with